Up in the morning and in the field, breaking my back just to pay my bills. Love what I do till the day I'm dead. I'll be working on my old homestead.
Welcome back, folks. This is Lloyd Creech II.
And this is Teresa Creech.
And you're listening to Radio Hour with EKH on 104.9 FM, WSKV, Stanton, Kentucky. Hope everybody's having a great and wonderful, sweltering July, end of July weekend.
Regardless of the weather, if you come out of all of this rain and flooding unscathed, then you are a blessed person.
Yes, you are and stuff. You know, everybody pray for what's going on over in Hindman, Eastern Kentucky. All the places, Jackson.
That's the closest to us.
Yeah.
Breathitt County.
Mm-hmm. And stuff. Those people, you know, having a really hard time. You know, it's bad enough to get a lot of rain. It's another thing to get a lot of rain in the middle of the night and not know it's coming. And so just be with the...
A lot of people have lost a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And those don't know what they've lost because if you've seen some of the pictures that are on Facebook, the water just absolutely destroys the road.
Uh-huh.
When it says it washes out, it just completely washes out. So there's probably a lot of people that can't get to their homes, or they're stuck in their homes and they can't get out.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the pictures that you've seen, a girl, I guess, sitting on top of a roof, because the water was that high, and she had like a tote or something with her dog in. Just really sad. So that area needs a lot of prayers. There are a lot of organizations that are taking donations. You don't have to look far for them. You probably can, get on Facebook if you have Facebook, and churches, and it's all over Facebook. And then if you don't use Facebook, probably contacting maybe the radio station, and they can get you in contact.
Or the American Red Cross or something like that.
Governor Beshear, I think that if you wanted to donate money, there's a website that you can go to in order to do that. And a lot of times in these situations, a lot of people will, just like the tornadoes in Western Kentucky right around Christmas time, is they will take up donations, and they have, you know, water and toilet paper and paper towels, and then they have all this excess.
Uh-huh.
You can only use so much water. You can only use so much. And so I think really, if you have a few dollars to spare, finding that website, I'll find it here quickly, and donating some money if you can. That money goes, you know, a long ways. But we're thinking about things that maybe you don't think about. What about little ones?
Uh-huh.
You know, diapers.
Yeah, diapers.
That's not
formula.
Something. Formula, you know, there's been a shortage. I don't know if that's still a thing or not, but just thinking of the things that make you comfortable and make your family comfortable, and donating that, I think, would be helpful. It's just very sad, and our weather is changing. Like, Kentucky gets rain, 12 inches in a 12-hour period is not rain. You know, that's devastating.
Yeah,
especially in places like Eastern Kentucky that you don't really think would flood, but if you think about it, because most things are built in a valley,
uh-huh,
or a holler, the water is going to travel down. So even if you don't necessarily live near a creek, you don't have to. You have all that water coming off of those mountains,
uh-huh,
you know, and washing out everything that you have. So our weather is definitely changing. I know that at the house, whatnot was that Wednesday night? There was so much lightning in the area. There was
night.
A scary red hue. Uh-huh. I mean, it just looked ominous.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, you know, please let us. And thankfully, you know, we didn't get no tornadoes or anything, but it's just something to think about. One minute you are happy-go-lucky and you're loving life, and then the next some bad weather comes and it takes out everything that you have. So
yeah,
just kind of a reminder from the good Lord above. I don't think he sends bad things, but just a reminder that what you do have, be thankful for it, because you're blessed today.
Uh-huh.
That's all you can think about.
Yeah, you're talking about the rain and stuff. Looks like it's going to dry out. a little bit this coming week, so there's a good chance of rain Sunday and Monday, and then after that it's going to start drying back out. I know it's not really bad over Montgomery County. It's muddy. You really don't want to get off a rock and stuff, but I've been bush hogging and everything over there and got the bush hog caught up for the Camargo farm. You might as well nix the Jeffersonville farm of ever getting bush hogged or any hay cut off of it this year and stuff, with it being next to Slate Creek like it is. But me and Paul was talking this morning and stuff, texting each other back and forth. He has a little bit of road damage down there. And when you get closer to Irvin, you know, the Kentucky River's right there and stuff. So the river's up, but not flooding at this point and stuff. Now, that was when I was talking to him earlier and stuff. So I don't know if it's crested or went down any or whatnot and stuff. But we didn't get a whole lot of rain Friday, thankfully. We got some Thursday night, Friday morning, but not no torrential downpours like we have been getting the last couple of days.
I don't think, unless you live in an area that is prone to flooding, or maybe, I know like in Jackson, I think I've seen, they haven't had flooding like this since 1939.
Yeah.
Like this is a historic flood for that area. And I don't think people realize how quickly it floods. Like a flash flood is not just like a term. I mean, you might have, you know, it's coming down hard, but then a creek gets out of its banks or a river gets out of its banks, and that water is going to go wherever it can. It's just,
yeah, and especially in this day and time, you got more people living in areas, you got more people moving to Kentucky. So that's more houses being built, more outbuildings being built. And so all that rain has to go somewhere too. And, you know, it's not just coming off the hills and coming down the creeks and stuff. It's got to come off all these roofs and stuff that used to not be there. And so you got to account for that access of water too. You know, all the schools that are built, colleges and everything, they got big roofs on them, and so all that water has to go somewhere. And unfortunately, it went to places like Hindman and Jackson and stuff like that, and just washing them off the map. But
there is a way if you go to, it's not giving me the website though because I'm on my phone. It gives you a way to snail mail. If you want to donate via mail, you can note the donation is for Team Eastern Kentucky Flood Relief Fund, and you can send the check to Public Protection Cabinet. That's 500 Mero, M-E-R-O, Street, 218 N-C. In Frankfort, Kentucky, 40601. So, Team Eastern Kentucky Flood Relief Fund. And then you mail the check to Public Protection Cabinet, 500 Miro Street, 218 N as in Nancy, C as in Cat, Frankfort, Kentucky, 40601. Or there's a website where you can select the actual, it's in 5, 20, 50, all the way up or other. You can click on the donation and you can pay it right there. I'm trying to get the website though. It just says secure.kentucky.gov, but I'm sure that there's a different address that you have to go to. So, but like I said, if you have Facebook, even if you don't, somebody you know does, you can, you know, get on Facebook, and there's all kinds of like churches and whatnot that are taking up donations, and I think anything helps.
Yes. All right, on a brighter note and stuff, not this weekend, but next weekend is the Corn Festival here in Powell County, among other festivals that are going on. You got the 127 yard sale also that runs the length of Kentucky. You got Danville's on 127. You got Frankfort that's on 127. Just outside of Sparta Speedway is on 127 and stuff. So
you like yard sales, next weekend is the weekend for you.
Yes.
I do not like yard sales. I have a hard enough time getting rid of the stuff and making room for the stuff that we have at home. So I don't tend to go yard selling. But if you do enjoy it, that's the weekend for you.
Yes, and so not this weekend, but next weekend is the Corn Festival and the 127 yard sale. And
if I'm not mistaken, I think the yard sale runs from Thursday through Monday.
Yes.
So and that's so. August the 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th, and ends on the 8th.
Yes. And so if you like flea marketing and yard sales and stuff, that'd be the one to go to. And then also the Corn Festival is Saturday the 6th and Sunday the 7th. And so...
And that is also our annual camping trip. Uh-huh. One of them. As long as this rain is not...
Yeah, too bad.
I had to break that news to Lloyd on the way over here.
Yeah. She's like, if it's
raining. I love camping, but this particular campground is right there on a creek.
Yeah.
So if the creek is high and they're calling for a lot of rain.
Mm-hmm. It looks like it's going to be drying out, though, so hopefully it does. But we're still 7 days out at least, or 10 days out, and so the weather could change, but we're keeping an eye on the weather right now and stuff to see what it's going to do, because it's already the dog days of summer. You got the flies, you got the sweat bees, you got the mosquitoes.
Oh my goodness, it's been like sweltering. Last weekend was the hottest weekend. It was absolutely miserably hot, except for under our pavilion.
And
it can find a breeze.
And all week and stuff, I've been, for some reason, I've got into this slump, and I finally broke it Friday morning. But every day for 3 weeks, I woke up late, which...
Not every day.
Almost every day. And even if it's only 10 minutes or 15 minutes and stuff, late's late. But I broke the cycle Friday morning. And, the sun's not coming up as early in the mornings now.
It's going down a lot sooner, too. Yes. Like, it's getting dark right around 8:30.
About 8:30. Yeah. And so my body's not adjusting to that very well at all. And so I've been waking up late just about every day. But I finally broke the
cycle
on that one. And so now hopefully I'm back on track. So hopefully. Teresa's talking about the pavilion. Finally got it done, folks. You don't have to listen to us no more about building the pavilion. It is done.
They haven't heard me because I haven't been on the radio for weeks.
Yeah.
So, you've been talking a lot about it?
I've been talking a lot about it and stuff. We got the roof on. My Uncle
Jimmy. He's just so happy that he finally got it on, because we got half of it done. And then it was just a sitting there and sitting there and sitting there. And finally, I just had to say, Lloyd, I don't care how you do it, but it needs to get done.
Yes. And I have no problem getting stuff done. It's trying to get help to get stuff done.
Yeah, you definitely won't be building this again.
No.
But you wouldn't have had to build it in the first place if you didn't say, I can build that. Okay, are you sure? Yeah.
No job too big or too small.
Yeah, I think you overestimated the willingness of the help. I think you did just a little bit. I think you expected that the help would be a little bit more plentiful.
That stuff. But what help did show up and did get everything
was
going,
appreciated.
It was appreciated very
completely.
Much.
Completely.
And stuff. We got the beams up. We got all the framing done.
Got some trim to do.
Yeah, we got. I go actually before the broadcast this morning on Saturday morning to Winchester to pick up a couple more pieces of trim. And then hopefully Saturday afternoon after the airing and stuff, it will be put on and everything.
So I'm glad that it is up.
Uh-huh.
But I'm so glad that it is up for a different reason.
What was that?
Because I have got to stop spending. Like when it got it up, so I got two rocket chairs for me and you. And then it's like, okay, but if we have people over, they're going to need rocking chairs.
Yeah.
So four rocking chairs.
Yeah.
Let's tell them about our table.
Well, you got to talk about the rug first.
Oh, the rug. Well, I got an indoor-outdoor rug. I mean, it is so
then,
Lloyd
then,
is
then
like
she
so...
she got solar lights for it. And I, then she got rechargeable lights for it.
The inside of the pavilion has these cute little camping lanterns. They're like $15 a piece. with rechargeable batteries that hang on the inside. They're dimmable. And then on the outside of the pavilion where the steps are larger solar lanterns. So uh-huh. they light up when the sun goes down, and they usually stay on a sunny day. They'd probably last till about 1 or 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
On overcast days, it barely makes it to 11. But, you know, if you're going to have this space, if you're going to invest this money and the time, because uh-huh. you have a whole lot of time into it, then you want to make it nice. And I know that you understand, well, just a old throwaway chair would be just fine for me. But if you're going to put that much effort and money, which we did very well because you are a wonderful master builder, then you want it to be nice. And so those little creature comforts, which you don't care if they're there or not, actually do kind of make it nice.
Yeah, I mean, it is nice.
Yeah.
And stuff, but, I'm one of these that just give me a chair and I'm
well then honey
I'm
we
good.
Could well don't tell me that, because then we could have saved $7,000 and you could have had your chair in the backyard.
No, I'm saying it's the pavilion's done, it's nice,
it's beautiful
and stuff, but just to have somewhere to sit down and stuff,
yeah,
just give me a chair.
Well, I know that
and stuff. I'm not
but
picky.
I was looking
I'm
for
not,
but I was looking for a little table, uh-huh. and we were in the Peddler's Mall last weekend.
Yeah.
They're in Moorhead, and they had two, they're barrel tops. I don't know if they were bourbon barrel or not, but they're two barrel tops. And they were, one was $30. Now, you can get one for a whole lot cheaper than $30 yeah. on Etsy, but I went ahead and I got it, and we figured, well, we'll make a table out of it.
Uh-huh.
And then that night, I got online to see what people do to make bourbon barrel tables, and an ad for Tractor Supply came up, and it was barrel planters, and yeah. I thought, oh, but then I thought, so we get there to look to see if Mount Sterling has any, but it'd be too short. And then I got to look, and I'm like, well, what if you put them put the bottoms of them together, because
uh-huh.
you could screw anything together, and voila, we have a bourbon barrel table.
Yes,
but then
with storage,
yeah, because the top comes off. It's not, it has a board. You put a board on the bottom of it so it can't slide off, but you can lift it up if you needed to. So maybe that's where we can kind of keep the stuff for the other thing I bought. I promise I'm not buying no more for it. I didn't know they had these, but they have tabletop fire pits.
Uh-huh.
Now, how stinking cool is that? We have a small fire pit that's close to the home, and I think we might not have that at some point in time. It was just too close to the house for my liking. But they have tabletop fire pits, and this particular one is not the name brand Flickr, I think, FLKR or whatever.
Yeah.
It is a brand called, I think, Round Fire. So it, same concept.
Uh-huh.
And it's only about 4 or 5 inches.
Yeah.
And it's a concrete bowl. And then it has a stainless steel cup that sits down in it. And you can use any kind of those fuels that you want for it. We used 91% isopropyl alcohol.
Yeah.
And it burned for like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's a clean burn. And it was a high, I mean, not too high.
It was probably
12 inch flame, but you have absolutely no smoke or anything off of it. So
yeah.
I'm done purchasing for the, I think.
So we got the bourbon barrel top table.
That's a really, we should take a picture.
That we made.
Yeah, we made it.
And then the rug and the four rocking chairs, the lights, all this stuff. And it all turned out, I mean, it's picture perfect and stuff. If you look at a deck magazine, it's like, ooh, that's really...
It's like Pinterest. It truly could be on Pinterest.
Yeah.
Well, of course, the picture of the inspiration for it come from Pinterest, I think.
And stuff. It was a pavilion from down south that was...
it looks similar, not as big.
It looks similar and stuff, but it... Up here in Kentucky, we have snow loads and stuff, so we had to design it for snow loads. And it turned out to be a 16 by 24 with a single pitch roof, a metal roof on it. The pitcher had plastic roof on it, which doesn't last long at all.
Which would have been beautiful, but it was also in a forest setting. You know, we're not in a forest setting, and I don't want to have to replace a roof every 2 years. So metal it is.
Like, man, that's a big pavilion. It is a big pavilion.
It doesn't feel though.
But the thing is it's surrounded by several buildings and stuff. So it's like the elephant in the room kind of ordeal.
Well, our neighbor has a rather large building that he stores things. His lawnmower and stuff sits under the covered shelter thing. And then behind us, you know, there's a building there. Uh-huh. And so, but the part of our, we have a big backyard for being in a neighborhood. Uh-huh. Older neighborhoods have bigger yards.
Yeah.
But it's fenced in, and the area that we put it is behind our garage, our detached garage, which is actually your workshop. It's never had a car parked in it since I've been there.
Yeah.
But it was an area of the yard that we weren't using, so we still have a big yard, but we're utilizing this space.
Uh-huh.
And you don't, unless you're looking for it,
uh-huh,
you don't see it.
Yeah. And so that makes it really nice and stuff. And then we get the evening breeze through there every now and then.
So it's nice maybe not to, I mean, like you said, you could just have a chair, but it is kind of nice to have a rocking chair.
Yeah, it is. I'm not going to complain about not having the rocking chair and stuff. I'm just saying is that to have a place to sit, just give me a chair. I mean,
yeah,
you know, no big deal. But we're
the crazy plant people now. Yeah, we had the plants in the front of the house, we're starting on the back.
She went and got two hanging ferns and to put up on the pavilion.
We'll have to post a picture.
And then
we can post a picture.
She got two ferns to go in front of the pavilion, and then I went and had some elephant ears on order. And when they come in, we really didn't have nowhere to put them, so we put them beside the pavilion.
We literally have no faucet spigot on the back of our house.
Uh-huh. So
the only
way
we have to haul water, and we had talked about this. We just got a tote and put water on it, and you put a spigot on it.
Yeah.
And so we fill it up, and then you bring it around on the garden cart, and uh-huh, it takes us about 40 minutes.
It's about almost an hour.
Yeah.
There's probably 50 plants back there that has to be watered?
Well, we had a really dry spell, so we were having to water them manually every other day.
Yeah.
And then you were, like, thankful for some of that rain coming. You're mm-hmm, like, oh, I can finally, you know, I can appreciate a cloudy, rainy day, but we've had that for a whole week, and it doesn't look like there's any sunshine anytime soon. I think, you know, so... But we keep planting things like we have a problem. We truly are crazy. We are those people. This is. So when we were getting the plants, the only time that we had to plant them would be after you come home from closing the store.
Yeah.
So we're literally in our backyard. We have new neighbors.
Uh-huh.
We're in the backyard with our phone flashlights, digging up things, burying things. And then we're the same people who, when we water at night,
uh-huh,
with our phone flashlights.
Yeah, 9:30.
Can you imagine? Our neighbors probably think
we're out watering.
We are.
That stuff, but we got plants everywhere. Elephant ears. You've never seen so many elephant ears on one place in all your life.
Oh, they're so pretty though.
Uh-huh.
But then you have a group of them that you did not plant this year, uh-huh, that are coming up.
Yeah, and stuff. There's probably
three or four plants.
I'm going to say there's probably 20 by now. And then you got the coleuses that we did plant and stuff. They're starting to come up around Sweet Pea's grave and the outhouse and the old dead tree stump.
So the outhouse, we'll clarify, is not an actual outhouse. Lloyd built it for me our first Christmas together. It was meant to be like a storage?
Yeah, storage shelving.
Yeah, it looks just like an old, you know, old outhouse. It's like 3 feet, well, four feet tall?
Four and a half feet tall.
Yeah.
And it's probably 2 feet, it's 2 feet wide.
But we put it in the backyard, uh-huh, which, you know, we had to classy it up. And it at first we had it on a tree stump, a tree that we had to cut down several years ago, but the tree stump started to rot. And then I changed out some flowers that was in a flower basket. They were purple and you couldn't see them from the road.
Uh-huh.
And I said, Lloyd, go put them on that tree stump. I thought for sure they'd die. They are so thriving. Uh-huh. I don't know what it is about that tree stump.
Well, it's decaying and composting. Yeah,
so it's giving
really good soil.
So, and Sweet Pea is buried beside the outhouse, love her heart. But we just have odds and ends flowers all just kind of put in that spot. And
yeah, those black petunias that were really...
They were in a hanging basket.
And stuff, you know, everybody's like, oh man, I've never seen black petunias before. Well, we got some at
the Dinner Bell Market, Flemingsburg.
And so, but they were getting so big and everything that they needed more soil to keep growing,
thriving. Too big for the basket.
And so we took the basket and planted it in the ground next to the crapper. And
isn't the crapper?
Mrs.
The
Jones.
Quapper, remember that conversation? Yeah.
And so Mrs. Jones, the outhouse, the crapper, it's all.
No, Miss Jones is our neighbor.
No, it...
Literally.
Yeah, but they used to call him Mrs. Jones, too.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. When I was growing up, we had one over on Hardook's Creek.
Like a true one, not, I mean, like a authentic.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, when the well was dry, you had to go, so you went to the outhouse and stuff. And then until you got some water hauled in,
yeah,
and put in the cistern and stuff. But if the well went dry and there was not a lot of water in the cistern, you went to Mrs. Jones, which is the outhouse.
Well, we won't be calling it Miss Jones because literally our neighbors are the Joneses.
Keeping up with the Joneses, huh?
Yep. We literally live next door to them.
Uh-huh. But, yeah, and so we got all these flowers going everywhere. And then John Fortune gave me a big clump of
hostas. They not looking the healthiest.
Well, because it's been so flipping hot.
And I think they might be planted too close to that brick. I think that brick is radiating the heat off of the day, and I think that might be...
It could be. We could scoot them out a little bit. But so we got hostas everywhere. We got elephant ears, coleoses, the black petunias and yellow petunias and white petunias. We got...
window basket. I mean, literally, it's the cutest thing ever. But, man, is it a lot of work.
The mint plants. I got three humongous mint plants. And then we got the normal elephant ears. And then we got these. When they come in and stuff, it took forever for them to grow. I mean, it lays in the ground for 4 months before they ever really started growing.
4 months?
3 months.
Yeah.
About 3 months, wasn't it? And when they come up, I was like, oh, no, this is not a regular elephant ear.
They're actually better looking because they're shinier. They have the kind of the thickness and the appearance of, what is that tree that I like that has the
magnolia
white?
Magnolia.
So magnolia leaves are thicker and a dark green, kind of shiny. That's how these are. They're really pretty.
And they're actually called giant taro, which is a different form of elephant ear if you look it up on your plant apps and everything. But the giant taro that they showed me was just one leaf that grew like 6 feet tall and like 3 feet wide. It's not that taro. It's a...
You know what that
it's
means?
It's a taro that grows just like a regular elephant ear. What's that?
I have to get me... Now that we have that pavilion, you can just pluck one of those and you can fan me.
Oh. Uh-huh. And then, so... You know, we got Bub. He's 2.5. He likes to get into... He's starting to like to get into mischief a little bit. And so we're going to have to build another fence.
To block off the back of the deck.
Yeah, to go from the side of the deck to the other fence that we installed just in November. And to block that off so he can't get back there. Because he's found the ball now. And now he can kick it back and forth and he can pass it. He can also take it and throw it over the fence, which is his new favorite hobby.
But we have a hill at the back of the fence, so if he throws it over that...
Yeah, he's already lost one ball to that one.
Oh, he has? Did you get it?
Yeah, a little while. No, I just let it go. I meant to go get it, and when I did remember to go get it, it was already gone. So
the owner of that property is sure to let you know if they're letting you know about sawdust.
Yeah. And so he's found these, he's got a little Tox basketball goal that's got three little black or little orange basketballs with them. And that's the one we're using for kickball and dodgeball and everything. And, but
we do not play dodgeball with the 2.5-year-old.
Well, you pass it to each other, okay? We'll
put it tossing. That's not dodgeball. Dodgeball is where you throw the ball and hit them.
And, well, if it bounces off of them, sorry. But, I'm getting the stare of death now. But, so he's found these three balls and stuff. We can kick them, we can throw them, we can catch them, we can, you know, all this and stuff. But when he gets tired and stuff, he's done with something. So what does he do? He throws it over the fence and stuff. And then, so I have to go grab it, and then he'll throw it back over the fence, and I have to go grab it. And it just gets into a cycle of a pattern here. And so we're going to have to block that area off between the pavilion and the fence there and stuff. So, we're already adding on. So we got done 2 weeks ago, and now we're adding on.
No, we're not adding on. And you had to find funds for that. These funds are dried up.
And then next year we're adding on a grill pavilion.
Are we?
Really? Why not? You don't want me to cook on the pavilion.
No, just put it in the grass.
What fun is that?
You have to build a deck to grill a hamburger.
Why not? If you're going to let the pavilion be
I
there.
I have to know what that's going to look like. Because if that's going to be ugly, and we ain't doing it.
And see, I told you the other day that the crapper has the same design as the pavilion. So we've been doing this for years now. We've been designing this pavilion for years, so. All right. You want to transition over to our other story?
How do I transition from that to... Let's just enjoy what we've built for now.
Yeah.
And maybe we decide that having another deck just for a grill, this thing is going to be like...
ginormous.
Is that my Taj Mahal?
Yeah. As long as it don't go to the Leaning Tower of Pisa, we're good.
So, let me tell you a story. I think I already told you, but I'll share it with you again. We were talking about bugs. Uh-huh. And when it's like hot and sticky and humid, and there seems to be more bugs.
Uh-huh. And especially with the dampness that's, been going on for about the last 2 weeks anyway.
We could talk about mosquitoes here momentarily. I think maybe I am okay with getting a mosquito bite and it itching and it not making me run inside for cover.
Yeah.
Because I'm covered.
Are you? How many you got right now? And she's going to sit here and count. She got like 10 on
two,
one leg.
Three.
Five on another.
I do.
And see, I'm
one right there.
I'm one of these that does not get bug bit. That's stuff.
Have you seen your skin?
Oh, yeah, I see my skin every day.
I don't know if bugs have teeth, but they wouldn't after trying to bite that.
That stuff, but see, I also eat garlic butter. Mmm.
So what you, okay, then
I will. I do not drink buttermilk. I have to draw a line somewhere, and drinking buttermilk is just no. I ain't have, a lot of people like it with their cornbread and their pinto beans and stuff, or soup beans and stuff. Me, no, I do not like. One, I don't like pinto beans. And
you better get used to those pinto beans. I'm the one that does the grocery shopping, and I just have to tell you, how many weeks have you seen me not come in with the big old thing of steak and pork chops and?
Oh, it's been the last couple of months. I know it's outrageous. We got a grocery store, and she asked me every Tuesday and Friday, how big is your truck? And the outs are actually more than what we got in. And we're having a lot of trouble getting in different meats. Like we're out of turkey, we're out of ham.
I like soup beans. And so there will when it, but that to me and it is like a cool, it's easier to cook in the winter months.
Oh yeah.
And to think of things that you want to eat.
Uh-huh.
And so
it's just
soup
like,
beans
you know,
is something that
outside.
I will make. And you can eat peanut butter.
That's fine. But it's like in the summertime. you can't take enough clothes off. But in the wintertime, you can put all the clothes on.
Oh, honey,
you want
yeah, you can. You may not be decent, but you can.
No, you can't take enough. I would peel my skin the other day if I could. It was so flaming hot. And humidity. And I think that's what's wearing me down so quick now. Is I got acclimated to being outside in uh-huh. the heat and humidity that it don't bother me as bad now.
I have actually had to, you will be proud of me.
What's that?
Since we have gotten this pavilion, I spend more time outside than I did before the pavilion.
Uh-huh.
One, because I feel like not being in the grass, I don't get bit as bad.
Oh, yeah.
But I have acclimated myself. Uh-huh. To the warmer weather, whereas before I'd be in air conditioning all the time. Uh-huh. Now I find myself walking outside.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the more you're outside, the more you want to be outside. So, and that's the way I am, being on the farm and everything. But now you walk outside and you just start sweating. I mean, the humidity is just nasty.
Oh, honey,
awful.
I know. I do your laundry. It smells.
And, you know, the other day, I'm driving down the road, and I have a farm hand and stuff, and I'm like, man, he needs to take a bath. He stinks and stuff. It wasn't him. It was
you?
It was my truck seat covers.
It was you?
It was me. No, it was my truck seat covers from where I had been sitting in it, because, you know, you get in it hot and sweaty, and you drive down the road. Well, guess what? Your stench is going to suck into the seat
gross,
covers and everything.
Gross.
You do that for 20 days in a row and stuff, it's going to start reeking pretty
good. I thought you
removed
it because it got rained on.
No, that was the Jeep. I did the Jeep that way. But my farm truck has seat covers on it. And so...
You take them off?
No, not yet. So
they still smell like butt sweat?
Probably. You know? Why take
That's
them off?
That's so nasty. That's,
why take them off? Because we still got a month and a half of butt sweat weather.
We're flipping getting ready to go into August, which is the hottest month.
Uh-huh.
July has been hot. August tends to be hotter.
Yeah, we're already
go ahead and take 25 plus days into
90 plus temperatures.
You're...
What's wrong?
I'm still trying to wrap my mind around. Well, we're still in hot weather, so why take it off? Just wait. I mean, if you apply that mindset to underwear, well, I'm going to need to wear it tomorrow. I might as well not take it off.
No, I have to say I've taken more baths in the last...
I know, because I do your laundry. But I'm just saying, if your seat cover smells like... Number one, it usually, for most people, would not smell like butt sweat because you would hope there'd be some layers in between there. But the way that you sweat,
yeah,
please take those off there.
Yeah, but then it's just going to be in the leather. And I would much rather take the seat covers off than have to do the leather.
You can walk. Can you wash your seat covers?
I don't know if you can. I'm sure you can.
Okay, well then just put your towel down.
Uh-huh.
While you're washing your seat covers.
Okay. We can try that.
It's a good thing that we are not on the same page when it comes to this, because I wash our bed sheets and your clothes.
Uh-huh.
And if I had that mentality, we'd be some stinking people.
Yeah, I'm sure we would.
Ew, nasty. Ew. Makes,
you know,
ooh.
Jimmy, you know, my Uncle Jimmy and stuff, he comes over and helps at the store and on the farm from time to time and everything. And he, you know, he's like me, he works out on the farm all day and then goes home and takes a shower and everything. And he says within an hour of taking his pants off, they've already soured and stuff because, you know, he's just sweating that much.
Ew.
Ain't you glad you married a farmer? No comment whatsoever. Wow. That is awesome. I feel the love.
I'm still trying to wrap my mind around the dirty butt seat covers and... Okay. No, I'm glad that I married you. Farming is what you do, not who you are.
Uh-huh.
Let's talk about farming, shall we? You've spent more time fixing things than you have actually using the things that they are intended for.
Not necessarily. So today I did a boo-boo. The most bush hogs, bat wings, have this metal object that comes off of the tongue or away from the tongue. It holds your hydraulic hoses up out of the way from the PTO. Well, this thing broke today. And so my hoses got wrapped into my drive line, and it did about almost $400 worth of damage, because it pulled all the hoses and broke them and threw them everywhere. So all the hoses had to be replaced. All the fittings had to be replaced. And then in the process, you know, it's a Pioneer fitting. And so in case of emergency, they're supposed to pull loose from the tractor and stuff. Well, two of them pulled loose from the tractor. The other one did not. And so it broke the port on it. And so I had to replace the port. Man, I don't want to replace any more ports. Them things are expensive. But so I had to take it and do that. And then last week, I don't know how I did it. Still don't understand it and stuff. But I blew the driveline tube off the wing. Still don't understand it. But
is this on your bush hog?
Yeah, on the bush hog, on the back wing. And so,
and the rollers broke down?
No, the roller's great and stuff. It's the hay mower. It's 25 years old, and they don't make parts for it no more. And so,
Terry Page commented that you should just get new equipment. To which I responded, he'd be lost if he didn't have something to fix.
Okay. In that defense, brand new John Deere hay conditioner, $35,000.
Well, yeah, that's expensive.
That's the brand new Woods Batwing.
Yeah, expensive.
I don't even have a clue how much them things are. But I'll just go to Terry and get the money for him to,
okay, to buy just, the new equipment.
I'll tell you, sign your name to the blank check. I'll go to Montgomery Tractor over here.
Honey, no, nobody's, but he said, yeah, just get new equipment. I'm like, if only he knew how much stuff he had to fix. Not even the farm equipment.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I do. If I'm not farming, I'm fixing and stuff.
That's why I suggested a career change.
And stuff. I do electrical, plumbing, house remodel. I do new construction building.
Honey, but you can't do that for homes that are not yours. Because you have to be licensed for a lot of that. Well, plumbing.
If you own electrician. If you own it, you can do your own stuff.
You can.
And stuff. Then you got motor. You know, I can do some good motor mechanicking and the gardening and everything.
You
and
just got to stop putting your boo-boos on Facebook.
My boo-boos?
Your boo-boos. Like today, you couldn't. There's nothing you could have done. But when you get stuck, don't take a picture and post it on Facebook. You look like the most inept farmer.
No, here's my thing, though, and stuff. And I was talking to my uncle about this the other day. You know, I was going to go to Jeffersonville the other day and bush hog stuff. Mom says, don't you dare, because you'll get stuck up there. And I'm like, no, I'll get stuck. But when you get real good stuck so you can take pictures of it and have something to talk about. Just getting stuck and getting pulled out ain't no fun. But getting really stuck like I do,
if you do it on purpose, then you're
no.
Being
I'm not
stupid.
Doing it on purpose and stuff. It's just if you're going to hook a bush hog to your tractor, you are going to get stuck. I am sorry, that's just the nature of the game.
Yeah, but the difference is you don't have to take a picture of it and look what I did.
It's almost funny now and stuff. I know everybody's like, man, you need to, you know, not
probably
be some
not,
piece of rump
yeah.
or anything and stuff. But I, you know, I'm just one of those people that pushes my equipment to the edge, usually to the edge of the creek bank, and then fall in. But I push it
to
the edge.
That's not very smart when you have a little person.
I'm safe about it, though. I do not hurt myself. I do not hurt my equipment and stuff. I just push it, you know, a little bit further and everything, and everything's good. The job gets done. It may just take a few more minutes because somebody has to come pull me out, but it gets done. I have a different mentality about this as I'm getting the death stare again.
It's not the death stare. I just don't understand. I guess.
Well, see, when you're bushing, I'm one of these that hates to weed eat anything. Hates weed eating. But because I do a lot of it. And
well, honey, nobody expects a farm to be manicured.
No, but you want your fence rows cleared out at least twice a year and stuff, or you start getting crappy fence rows with all thorn bushes and everything And then your ditch lines need to be cleaned out, and around your roads and everything need to be weed-eated and stuff. So if you can push over just another inch or two to get that with your bat wing, then you don't have to weed-eat. And but then
some, or you tear up your bat wing.
Or sometimes you just slide into the ditch, or in my cases, a lot of times you slide into the ditch and stuff because you're just trying to get just another inch or two. And stuff, and that's how my daddy taught me and stuff, is just push it just a little bit further so you can get, you know.
Well, as long as his pockets are the one fixing all these repairs, you do whatever you want.
And stuff, but I do get
when
pulled
it's air
out
pockets,
a lot.
When it's air pockets fixing the repairs, career change.
And so, you know, it just happens. You do that in farming and stuff. I got a lot of friends that farm, a lot of good people that farm and everything. And, you know, some people are just not, you know, if they get on a hill, that's one thing. They get on a steep hill, they gone. And stuff, to where steep hills don't even bother me anymore and stuff, because I'm just so used to it and stuff.
You're not invincible.
No, I'm not invincible and stuff. And I pray to God every day and stuff, and thank Him for letting me live and wake up every morning. But, you know,
He might be knocking on your door because you haven't been waking up on time lately. You might want to take note.
Yeah, but I still pray for him or pray to him every day and everything. And so we good stuff. Now, I'm not as wild as I used to be since we got Bub and everything. But, you know, I still have to push the envelope a little bit.
Uh-huh.
But talking about gardening.
I feel enlightened.
Uh-huh. And see, used to I'd have to call Becky and Jeremy and stuff to come over just to watch me bush hog. Now, I don't even call them and stuff because I don't even bush hog that hill anymore and stuff.
Oh, no, just let it grow up.
Yeah, just let it grow up.
It's not worth it.
And stuff. It's got trees all over it now.
It's not like,
been mowing it.
It's not like you're going to grow anything on it, or just let it grow up.
Yeah.
And it's on the back side of a hill, right? Is that the really steep one?
Next to Trimble.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just let it grow up.
Yep, just let it grow up. So, and that's one of those hills like, Dad's like, yeah, there ain't no cow ever going to climb up that. So I ain't seen a hill yet that a cow can't climb and stuff. But we quit bush hogging it. It's all grew up. It's got pine trees all over it and everything now. And that's the way it's going to be. So, because me not getting on that no more.
No. Mm-mm.
And stuff. And that was the steepest hill on the farm there. So
I'm just processing.
Getting these dirty looks over here, Phil.
I'm not giving you dirty looks. I'm probably giving you like half stink or half
stink
straight
eye.
Snow.
Give me
blank stares.
Eye.
I'm giving you blank stares.
What?
Nothing. I just, most people, I don't know. I mean, like, maybe once be like, oh, look, I got stuck. But it's every time.
It's
like,
not
I'm
every
having
time.
To learn, yes. When there is something bad broke, or you have taken a break, a long break, there's
that,
like, I find out about this stuff when I'm like, oh, I wonder what's going on Facebook. Oh, look, my husband is stuck again. Oh, look, something else is broke.
It's not every day, it's not every week. And stuff. It is often, but not every day or every week. And stuff.
I mean, it kind of like, so, did you ever tell them about what the chain did to our deck?
No, I didn't. I don't think so.
There was a chain hoist, is that
yeah.
what? Okay. And we left it on the deck. It rained.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm like, oh, because it was a rusty chain. I bet you that left marks. It didn't leave just marks. It didn't leave just rusty, like, a little red spots. It left black chain.
Yeah, and you
could see the individual chain links.
Yeah.
So we're like, brand new deck. Haven't even used it. Well, I could power wash that. Okay. So you worked really hard fencing
uh-huh.
for your Uncle Jimmy.
Yeah.
And you thought coming home would be a good idea, but when you did it, you put it on the lowest setting, or the high, the lowest setting, and chunks of wood were missing. So then we had to like turn things over. It's like, You poor man can't catch a break.
No, you know, it's Murphy's Law and stuff. And I get after people.
But if you put that out there, then yeah, because then you're like expecting it. But like, do it and be like, yep, this is gonna be beautiful, and I'm not gonna have to redo nothing.
Well, I do that too and stuff. But when you mess up and stuff, just admit that you messed up and
yeah,
go on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's no big deal. Right.
But now I feel like, because you come home and you're like, oh, look at this cut. Oh, I think I tore my meniscus. Oh, look at this. I'm like, would you just stay home?
Yeah, and on the knee, you know, bringing that up, I have a torn meniscus now. And stuff.
And arthritis.
And arthritis in the knee joint. And a cortisone shot in the G joint, which also makes me either not want to go to bed, or after I go to bed, I don't want to wake up. So...
That's not from the cortisone shot. That's from your age.
Well, it's got some of that prednisone stuff in it.
Oh.
You know what prednisone did to me the last time I took it?
It will lead to divorce.
And stuff.
What they gave that to
you? Hyper,
or they gave that to you for your ear.
Yeah.
The prednisone.
Uh-huh.
And he would literally wake up in the middle of the night. And I guess he was like the poor in the sweater, nothing, but he was like going back and forth, like tossing and turning and throwing his arms around. And after two or three nights of that, I said, if you take that medicine, we will not be married no more. You will have to see another kind of doctor.
Well, prednisone and cortisone are kind of the same family medicine. And so I've been having...
So it set you on fire.
Yes, and so at night I burn up and don't want to go to bed. And then there's nights that when I do go to bed, I don't want to wake up and stuff. I could sleep for 24 hours and it wouldn't bother me a bit. And so I've been waking.
I mean, I can relate to that because I think COVID zapped me of any energy. I'm having to take B12 every day.
Yeah.
And it.
And how's that working for you?
Was really good in the beginning. And then I had two or three really bad weeks at work And you have to be mindful of when you take that, because I would take it in the morning after eating breakfast. Well, I forgot two or three days, and I take it in the afternoon. Midnight rolls around, and my eyes are wide awake, and I'm like, I'm not going to bed.
Yeah.
And so I've been going to bed later. But, buddy, when my head hits that pillow after I kiss you goodnight and I turn off the lights... Or try to. Alexa's getting a little dumb. When I try to turn out the lights, and once they're finally out, I am out.
Yeah.
I don't hear your alarm, and I barely hear you when you leave.
Uh-huh. It's like trying to kiss Stevie Wonder over. Like a fly, you know.
Do you know what it's like to sleep next to you? You're 6'4". You are not a small man.
No.
I woke up in the middle of the night the other night, and he has his big bat wing arm straight up to the heavens. So I put it down and said, put your arm down, Lloyd. 20 seconds later, it goes right back up. Now, why this is so important, you all, is because we have a queen size bed. We couldn't have a king size bed if we wanted one. It wouldn't fit in our room. And there's been many a night where that arm stretched out to the heavens, however much it weighs, gives out and smacks you in the head. So now, when we go to sleep, I guess when I wake up, it used to be I was checking to see if you're breathing.
Wow, man.
Because you smoke, and you don't do it hardly anymore. But you used to wheeze when you would breathe, and I could hear you breathing. So if I woke up and I didn't hear that rattle, it sounds awful, then I'd get worried. But after a time or two of getting smacked in the head, I noticed that big old arm outstretched to the heavens.
You know, I only do that when I drive tractor for long periods of time.
I don't know why you do it, but I have videos of you doing it in your chair, and it's hilarious. But he puts that arm straight up for no, I'm like, what is he doing? So the
because I hold on with my right arm and then I'm driving with my left arm.
Yeah, but straight up, no, yours is like straight up, like you're a ballerina, a farming ballerina.
I could be reaching my hand to God, you know.
You could, but he didn't catch it because there's been two or three nights that it's come down with all of its might and smacked me in the face. So the other night, I woke up, you know, and you have it straight up, and I just put it down. I said, put your arm down, Lloyd. Well, 20 seconds later, it goes back up. Put your arm down, Lloyd. Finally had to turn over, and I was like, well, at least if it comes down, it's going to get the back of my head and not, mm-hmm. you know.
I don't know why and stuff. I can reach my arm out, straight out. And it's comfortable.
Sit there, you do this. It's
and stuff, you know, most people can't reach the, you know, put their arms above their head for like more than a minute and stuff before it starts hurting and burning and all that.
No,
and stuff.
I can.
And I can sit there for hours and do that and then, you know, not bother me at all. And stuff, you know, if I put them out straight out in front of me and stuff, I can sit there and do it forever. And it not bother me, but, you know, I don't know.
But you fall asleep in your recliner and I get you up and you get a Charlie horse.
Yeah. Yeah, the recliner is an awesome, awesome invention and stuff. But my recliner has a bad disease that whoever sits in it is asleep in it. And when I fall asleep in it, where I have like that restless leg crap and been on tractors forever and stuff, I get Charlie horses like crazy. Tracy's seen my Charlie horses before. My whole leg locks up. And so I have to be jumping out of the recliner to get standing on my legs to get those muscles relaxed. And for some reason, when I fall asleep in that recliner, I'm about determined to get a Charlie horse and stuff. So it's a good win to sit down in that recliner because it's so comfortable and stuff. And then it's a bad win when you got to get out of that recliner because you know you're going to get a Charlie horse. So. You want to talk about cleaning the recliner?
Ew, no. Everybody has that chair. His is his recliner. It's his recliner. But when Bub was little, it was where I worked from because I worked from the living room with Bub. Uh-huh. And I bought, you know, having a little one, he's going to spill his milk sometimes and there he's just going to spill things.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, I'm going to have to get something that allows me to clean this up.
Mm-hmm.
So I got one of those Bissell, it's like a little giant
shampooer.
Thing. Like little, yeah, it's like a shampooer for yeah. like small spots in carpets
yeah.
or, and so I took it to Lloyd's chair. It looked like the Kentucky River. I am not lying. The milky brown kind of
butt sweat.
Disgusting. Disgusting. It works. The chair looks
brand new.
Well, I don't know if it doesn't sit brand new because it's wore out. It's starting to do the thing your dad's does.
Nobody's chair can be as
where it leans
dad's.
Back. But no, I you know, I got that and I cleaned his chair. And it can look clean and not be clean. The water that come off of that was just, I mean, it's like every time we vacuum the rug, you don't smoke in the house. And I vacuum it quite frequently, but just the dust and just stuff,
yeah,
you know, that gets in your rug. So, yeah, the chair was nasty.
Uh-huh. And Bubby and his goldfish hiding spot, we've still never found it yet, but we keep on finding goldfish.
No, I haven't found any goldfish in a long time.
Have you not?
No, because I put a towel down when he sits in that chair
uh-huh.
and has his. That's where he has his breakfast.
Uh-huh.
He don't sit at the table for his breakfast.
Yeah.
He watches his PJ Masks or his Thomas the Train and
uh-huh.
has his breakfast on his recliner. It's been a well-loved, I mean, the first night we brought him home, that's where we slept,
uh-huh.
poor little fella. So, it's a well-loved chair, it'll be sad when it has to go, but one of these days it's going.
No,
it will be replaced.
It'll last forever.
No, it won't. You'll just come home, it won't be there. But we've run out of time.
No, yeah, we still
we don't have less than a minute.
We got a minute
We'll get to this the next time I can make it back to the radio.
Yeah, we got these stories that we can talk about and stuff, and here we talk about dirty chairs. And
I know, I'm just, you know, Paul's been doing the radio with you, and I'm like, well, maybe Paul would like to. It's kind of fun to do it, though. I do kind of miss it. I just can't do it every week.
Yeah, and I would like to put out a hand of thank you for everybody that's contacted me the last week or two and stuff about the program and how good it was with Paul. And so we talked about a lot about Powell County history and Estill County history and stuff down where Paul lives, and the Furnace Mountain and all that stuff. And everybody's just like, man, that was a good episode and everything. And so thank you for reaching out.
You want to take
a poll? No, I don't want to take a poll, stuff. Thanks for reaching out and stuff. I love it. I enjoy, you know, hearing from people, from our different audience members and stuff.
It's kind of cool that this has gone on for as long as it has.
Mm-hmm. It really is cool and stuff. And so I'd just like to thank everybody that listens to us and stuff. You know, Teresa, you know, life happens and stuff. So, you know, if she's says, well, I can't do it this week and stuff, then I'll call Paul and stuff and see if Paul can do it or not and stuff. And then, you know, we don't like to do reruns and stuff, but sometimes we have to and stuff because, you know,
well, you have 7 years to pull from. I mean,
and
oh yeah, we should replace some of those early ones.
No,
we should.
No, and stuff. You know, when we first started doing, John and I first started doing this 7 years
ago. You all got into a really good groove, and then life happened. He had a baby.
Yeah, he had a baby and jobs and all that. And so, it was a lot of and chickens and stuff. It would take us 2 hours to record.
You were Anna and somebody was butt up.
And it took us 3 hours or 2 hours to record, 3 hours to edit.
Oh, Lord, it took that long?
Yes.
I wasn't part, like...
And then, see, before we'd come on and stuff, we'd spend hours and hours and hours reading these, you know, articles and stuff to have something to talk about.
Well, then you'd be like
reading.
And then
in the end, the best thing you can do is, you know, let people learn something every now and then. But also just talk freely. I mean, that's the best medicine for radio.
Do you think anybody, I don't know.
What?
Likes me on the radio.
Oh, yeah. People love you. That stuff. You bring a different
But
type
I pick
of,
at you, but I'm allowed to because I married you.
Yeah.
This is my God-given right. I wash your nasty drawers.
Wow, thanks. Woohoo.
Your farm clothes.
Yeah.
So there has to be some kind of...
Yeah, give and take.
Yeah.
Some shit.
But we would. We would sit there and read. Like, we would read to you like story time with the creatures.
Uh-huh. And the best
what
thing...
on earth are you trying to...
I think it was a mosquito. See that mosquito right there?
That's not a mosquito. It's a gnat.
Well, I seen it out of the corner.
I'm a little concerned. Now you're starting to...
That's the... I was Daniel's son with the chopsticks.
You were. That's not why I'm laughing. You look insane. If you start putting in your mouth, and I'm...
No, we ain't going to do it. All right, folks, we are out of time for this week. I hope everybody enjoyed the show.
We hope you did. If you didn't, let us know. But if you did, definitely let us know.
Pray for everybody out in Eastern Kentucky and stuff around Breath County. And,
they need a
Jackson
lot of prayer.
And Heineman. And
if you've got a dollar to spare, there's places that you can. Well, I'll find that website and I'll post it on the Facebook page so that if you wanted to donate, you can. And like I said, get on Facebook. There's a lot of, I'm sure wherever you are, there's somebody nearby that is taking up donations for these people. They need our prayers and they need our assistance, and it is up to us to give back and lift these people up because that has got to be hard.
Yes. All right, folks, everybody have a blessed weekend, a blessed work week ahead, and we'll catch you here next time. So long.
Love the Lord to do till the day I'm dead. I'll be working on my old homestead.